It's a regular Christmas miracle. Everyone's getting a brand new edition of The Classroom for Christmas, yes? You thought you'd be hearing a best of, but no, no. It is original Christmas Eve content from your friends, Keith Strudler and Jeff Brault. Mike Wallace is hanging out, too. Your weekly smart look at sports cannot be stopped for Yuletide festivities. No, we're giving the people what they want. More hours of us.
They want, you're welcome, America. This is the Christmas present you've all always wanted. This is what you've asked for. Don't wait for St. Nick to come down that chimney tonight. We've come to your house early. The real Christmas miracle has come to your house one day in advance. And because Christmas, I get my Christmas, I'm Jewish, so I really don't think.
It's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow. It's Christmas Eve is tonight. And that's all the excitement.
It's the anticipation.
Yeah, that's all the good, and that's all the excitement. And tomorrow's the big show, and that's when all my people go out and get Chinese food.
Do you have a movie picked out?
Die Hard.
You go a movie at home. You're not going to the theater.
No. Now, by the interesting, saw Rogue One.
Oh, Star Wars story.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
I loved it.
Okay.
I loved it. Now, I happen to like most of the Star Wars movies.
Me too.
Side note, probably not surprising. I like almost every movie I see.
Okay.
I do believe it, because I feel like you do that in case you one day meet someone who is in that movie, you want to tell them that you're a fan of their work, so you think that'll make them like you.
That is actually an ancillary benefit, which I hadn't thought of, but it is interesting, where I can tell everyone that I'm a big fan of their work. There's two real reasons. One, I have really, really poor indiscriminate taste. This is why I like almost everything I eat. Because I'm not a good judge of quality.
Except, of course, for cheeseburgers.
Except for meat. Because that's not eating, that's murder. So, that's A.
I'm sure you would find them very tasty, though.
I don't think so. I couldn't get around the guilt. So, it's hard to eat guilt. When you think of it as someone's mother.
It's that much more tender.
Yeah.
Well, technically, the child, the veal, would be tender.
Yeah, sure is. Oh, yeah.
That would be the more tender.
Mm.
But B, I am such a sucker for, anything that's bright and that, shiny lights, right? And so, when I go to a movie and it's, bang, big screen, and things are, the head is the size of a wall, I'm like, oh, this is awesome. So, for the most part, that's why I don't think I've ever not liked a Broadway show. It's just the excitement of the experience. So I'm more of an excitement guy. So I like most movies I watch.
I don't get to go to a lot of movies in the theater, especially this time of year, but I like...
Why is that?
Just simple time. A lot of travel. I'm usually traveling this time of year. We've got a lot of basketball games.
Yeah, but you have more time than anyone.
No, I'm a very busy person.
Let's talk about the difference between you and me.
All you do is complain about how busy you are, while I am a functioning adult who can just handle himself.
The difference between you and me is that I have other people that rely on me, and you have nothing but free time.
Don't bring your personal mistakes into this.
Sounds real nice.
You go home most nights, unless you're calling a basketball game. You go home most nights, and it is your dominion. Nothing but your time. I have a feeling, because we have such a loose schedule for the program, might get a little chippy tonight. It might get a little personal. But you have nothing but free time. By the way, we are not we're not live streaming today because, we're short-staffed, obviously, because of the holiday.
Correct. Yes, the students are off campus. Yeah. Mike Wallace,
I can't do it all.
Yeah. So, well, you could.
Not with that attitude.
No.
Do you guys want me to live stream right now?
No.
Yeah, all right.
No, we don't, because we're not set up for it. Jeff Brault has a beard.
That's true.
Jeff Brault does have a beard.
Well, and I don't know. I mean, if you've watched the live stream.
I should put a new beard.
A new beard.
We're 2 weeks in.
That's true. You weren't here last week, and so that's why we didn't see that. We had a great show last week you weren't here for, but now you're sporting a beard.
I was busy last week.
It's pretty good for 2 weeks.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that.
Do you have a hairy back?
No.
It just seems if you can grow hair that quickly. So you're sprouting a beard, which, and I know this is, you don't believe this, you're doing this to compensate for the fact that you're losing hair on your head.
I don't believe that's why I'm doing it. In fact, I can tell you exactly why I'm growing a beard.
You're going for the lumberjack look.
Well, I am, but that's not the reason.
Oh, now you're going to tell me you're doing it for charity.
No, that's not the reason either.
It's Mustache Monday.
There's a real simple reason why I'm growing a beard.
It's cold.
A pretty girl told me to. That's it. That's it. Now, here's the thing. I have a theory.
Do you?
And that theory is the more attractive a person is, the more they can tell you to do something, and you'll just do it.
Absolutely.
That's my theory.
Yeah.
So that's why I now have a beard. Somebody said, you should grow a beard. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, okay.
Well, there's a corollary to that, as there are with all theorems. How attractive they are based on how little you know them. If you know them really well.
It means more.
No.
Yeah.
If your wife is really attractive, she might be like, I'd like you to clean that table. And you're going to be like, I'll do it when I darn well feel like it.
Oh, well, attraction, yeah, obviously, situationally dependent.
Yes.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Yes. I mean, you can, you know, you have a wife or a husband, I assume you are significantly attracted to that person. But,
well,
yeah, but
you were.
You know,
you
the
are.
A, it's simple psychology. The A process and the B process, eventually it catches up to each other. And what once, you know, made you love struck, now you just loathe.
Or something like that.
Right. But, yeah, I'm not at that point.
Right. So this is a – is this person listening to the program this morning?
I mean, I don't exactly know all the 12 people that are listening to the program this morning.
We should be more intimately kind of knowledgeable about our fan base because it is such a selective crowd. But – so you don't know if she's listening. She's local, I assume.
Yeah.
Although she could be listening – by the way, live stream's down. But the video stream's down, but you can still live stream the audio.
Yep, check out our radio. Twitter at ESPN_Clash and leave a link there.
Yeah, so check that out. So you can still listen to this no matter where you are.
Podcast will be available.
That's right.
ESPNTheClassroom.podomatic.com.
Yep, you got that. So, but she may or may not be listening. Now, here's an interesting point. If she is listening right now, are you a little embarrassed?
No,
or,
not at all.
Because she now knows that you've got...
Oh, there are no... I should point this out. There's nothing going on between us.
Not yet.
No, there won't be at any point. It's not like that.
You would like there to.
But here's the thing. But I recognize... no, not really. I don't think we... Truthfully,
oh my
I don't
God,
think
that
we get along
a,
that well.
You, are, you have
oh,
to, because
no,
you
no.
don't do it if...
No.
No, here's
no,
the thing.
No.
I recognize that if... Oh, this is an attractive person.
No.
I can...
No.
Yes.
No, no.
You could be attracted to someone and not want to be in a relationship with them.
No, that's not true.
You absolutely can.
That's just not true.
You absolutely
did you,
can.
Did you ever watch when Harry Met Sally?
I actually haven't.
That. So, no. No, you cannot. You cannot be attracted to someone and not want to be in a relationship
I think
with
there's
them.
A difference between being attracted to someone and recognizing someone is attractive.
Sure. That's absolutely true.
Okay.
But I'm going to suggest that you are using that as a cover so you don't have to be, shall we say, emotionally vulnerable in this particular instance.
No, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that at
this
all.
This is getting deep. It's getting real deep.
This is not where I expected this to go. I probably should have made up a reason why I started to grow the beard.
The psychology of this is getting very deep.
The fact of the matter is this. If somebody of a certain level of attractiveness tells you to do something, you do it.
Often.
You think, I'm going to go ahead and do this.
Quite often.
Yeah. So here we are. Also nice not to have to shave.
Yeah, see, I don't like the way it feels on my face.
I'll be honest, a little itchy. But I'm told that's temporary.
I've been told I look good with a beard.
I don't believe you can grow a beard.
Oh, I can grow a beard.
I don't think you
no,
can.
No, I can grow
can
a beard.
Can you? Please?
Oh, yes.
No, well, no, do it.
No,
do
no.
it.
No, you, the question is, will I? And the answer is no.
I don't think you can. I don't believe you.
Oh, no, I can grow a beard.
I don't believe you.
Oh, I can grow a beard.
I don't believe you.
I got more hair than I know what to do with. I got... Although not, I mean, not to get around, I don't have a hairy chest or I have no belly. I mean, I'm just...
So you don't have more hair.
I actually don't have more hair. But I'm not...
So you've turned this program into a feast of lies. A Christmas feast of lies.
But I could definitely grow a beard if I wanted to.
I don't
to.
Think you could.
I could.
I think it would be patchy.
No.
I think it would be whiskery.
No. Problem is some of it would grow in gray.
Not necessarily a problem. I kind of like the salt and pepper.
That would be good for me, too, I think. It would give
it's
me
very professorial.
It would give me some... it would be dignified. It would make me... you know what? I'd probably look good when I got up and gave the award to Hannah Storm on April 20th with a little... Little beard. That could be something. I just don't like it. I don't like the way it feels. It's just not something I'm comfortable with.
I didn't think I was going to like it. Now I do.
But now are you like going to kind of Don Johnson the situation and keep it at that?
I don't know. See, I there's no beard sculpting. That hasn't happened yet. I was talking to a bearded friend, a friend who's had a beard for almost a decade now. And he says you almost have to at a certain point. Otherwise, it starts to get very like ZZ Top-ish. So at some point, you have to...
Well, you have to groom the beard, obviously.
Right, right. And no, then you have to make a decision as to how
well, you have to decide what's your length, what's your optimal length.
But I'm not at that point yet, so I figure we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
I would assume you would fall into the going to the beard salon, getting the beard trimmed.
First of all, I would never... I'm a barbershop person. I'm not a salon person. I'm going to imagine you get your hair cut by a female.
Well, I'm a supercuts kind of guy.
Really? That surprises me.
No. Really?
Someone as elitist as you.
No,
that surprises me.
But I don't like to spend that much money on my hair.
See, that also surprises me. I would think you would think that a $300 haircut is in some way better than a $20 haircut.
Oh, it is. It absolutely is better.
And then but I'm surprised you don't do it.
Yeah, that's a lot, you know, because it's a disposable commodity. It's hard to, it's just not something I'm comfortable with.
Especially for someone as vain as you are.
Well, that's true. And now I'm thinking that maybe I should, but I don't think I'd like to spend that much money on hair. I'd like to spend money on other things, but I don't think I'd like to spend that much money on hair. Speaking of which, are you done with – you don't buy gifts for anyone, do you?
I've more or less cut my list down to my parents and my grandmother.
So no.
Those are people.
Those are people, sure.
Yeah, but I'm an only child, so I don't have siblings.
And what do you get in return from them? Do they give you gifts?
We're not a very like sentimental Christmassy kind of family. We never have been.
Sure.
Like even when I was a kid, I would very rarely actually get gifts on Christmas.
Well, I imagine your family to be largely emotionally bankrupt.
We do have something of a business-like relationship in most ways. But
I see you as My Big Fat Greek Wedding, I see you as the other side.
Also didn't see that.
Come on.
I didn't see it. I'm sorry. Your two pop culture references have no bearing on me.
So, yes, I see there being almost no sentimentality.
So typically what we get each other are things that the other parties have difficulty getting. Like my grandmother very much likes Crown maple syrup, which you can only really get here in Dutchess County, sure, where it's made. So she gets a couple bottles of Crown maple syrup. They get some local chocolate from the Alps. My mom really likes a champagne that's only really available here in the Hudson Valley. So they get a lot of local products that they don't have access to.
It's more like a trade, a barter.
A little bit.
It's absolutely a trade.
It's a little bit like we've opened the trade routes between suburban Philadelphia and the Hudson Valley. We just put it in a nice Christmassy bag and give it to you. And then I will likely get something of similar ilk from my parent, give or take. Also, usually just a check.
Which is fine. Money is the best gift.
Yeah. It is, yes.
Money is the
best gift.
Because
money buys every other gift.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Money is the best gift.
Mm-hmm. It's the wild card.
Well, it's the best gift. It's the most thoughtful gift.
The most useful gift.
It's the most useful gift. Mm-hmm. It's the most everything. So if you want to send something our way, what did I – oh, you know what I asked for on the show last week when you weren't here? Chewbacca suit.
Yeah. It's like a
like a onesie?
Yeah, like a $300 Chewbacca suit. Yeah,
I'd like to see you in that.
Yeah. We had up on the live stream.
I'll pull it up for Jeff.
Yeah, if you go back and watch the show from last week, we spent quite a bit of time just me talking about how I'd like them to buy me a Chewbacca suit.
Now, who are you buying gifts for, Kris Kringle?
Well,
since you make it sound like I'm so miserly, only getting gifts for my immediate family,
well,
that
first
I will
of all,
see on Christmas.
Well, first of all, I got more family to deal with.
Well, that's fine. Again, your own problem.
No, but I mean, I'm just saying, I just have more family.
Right. Okay.
Right,
so you make it sound like because I give gifts to my immediate family, you obviously would give gifts to a wider circle than that.
Well, but beyond that, I've got like, you know, people that this is going to come out wrong.
Here we go.
Like people that work, you know, like that work maybe around your house or do things.
Your servants.
No.
Your butler.
No. See, my point is
your help.
No.
The grounds crew.
No. 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 Just, you know, like the lawn people or
your
gardener. Grounds crew.
Sure.
Yep.
You know, the cleaners.
Sure.
You know those kind of, all the teachers at the school.
your service people.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying all those people you need to get gifts for.
See, I don't have those people.
No, you don't.
I am a self-sufficient man. I clean my own house. I wisely do not own a place that has a yard. That's by design, of course.
You live a Spartan, sad life.
I live a smart life. I'm a minimalist. By design. I've unburdened myself of problems.
That is true. That is true. Have you thought...
I know what's in my backpack.
Have you...
Joy?
That's not... No.
That would be an emotion.
No. Just
that would imply that
leisure,
you feel something.
Have you thought about getting a mini house?
I actually have. I am fascinated. Absolutely fascinated by the mini house thing. I don't like necessarily the mini house because I feel like the mini house has a connotation of like having to live out in the woods somewhere like Henry David Thoreau. I don't get that. But I really like, have you seen these new micro apartments? Like in Manhattan or whatever, where they have 200 square foot apartments.
Have you ever like the pod hotel?
Yeah. Fascinates me. I also very much kind of like the coziness of a small space.
Kind of like a womb.
I suppose. So yes, I have thought about that. I don't think I could ever do it, but I have thought about it, and it does fascinate me.
What if you got one, you park it right here on the Marist campus?
So I actually think that's the future of housing. I think the future of housing is going to be a big downsize.
I don't think so. Tell me the last time in America that we have downsized.
Fair point. Fair point.
Bigger. The key is bigger. I don't see downsizing by choice.
I don't necessarily think it's going to be because of choice. I think it's going to be out of necessity.
Because we're all broke?
I mean, we're killing the environment. Let's face it, we are. Yes, money becoming a thing. Things are costing more and people aren't making more. I think eventually it's not going to be prudent for families to have massive plots of land and giant houses on them.
Next thing you know, we're all going to be Scandinavian.
I think we might be turning that way.
I'll tell you what. I'm still going to be in my 4,000 square foot mega mansion. No, I'm not turning it back.
And you will be buying Christmas gifts. Now, what do you get? What do you get someone who, say, works on your lawn? What do they get for you?
The gift that keeps on giving. Some cash. Some cash.
So it's a bonus.
Our lawn guy.
So you give them a Christmas bonus.
Yeah.
So you don't give them gifts.
Yeah. Well, now the teachers.
That's not a gift.
We just already established that's the best gift.
That's a bonus. That's not a gift. There's no love in that.
No love. There's a lot of love.
That's a thank you. That's not a gift. There's a big difference.
Mike, if I walked over and I gave you $100, would you feel the love?
Yeah, I'd feel the love.
Yeah, there you go.
But he doesn't pay me to begin with, so it wouldn't be a bonus.
Well,
it would be love.
It would be a gift.
Yeah, something that I otherwise don't receive from you.
Would you like that, or would you like some Levi Relaxed Fit pants I got at Costco? What would you rather?
$100.
That's right.
Or would you rather, maybe say a nice monogrammed briefcase that you could use when you get a job?
Well, that is a nice.
So there you go.
You know what? Because that also probably has a monetary value of over $100.
Mike's mic is hot.
Thank you.
It's a hot mic. Well,
thank you.
You got to watch that.
It really is. Yeah, you have to kind of back away from
that.
He's got a newer microphone that we do not care for.
No.
We're at our old studio this morning because there's no interns around. There's no live stream on the video. So we're in our older studio, and it's changed a lot since we've moved out. Let me tell you, this neighborhood has gone downhill.
I'm producing sideways.
When once we moved out, this thing went downhill.
So we've established you don't actually give gifts to the people that work
around your
house.
We do.
You give them a thank you.
For the teachers,
what are they, get a Dunkin' Donuts gift card?
Exactly. We did.
The gift every single teacher gets. I have a friend who's a teacher, and every January he's like, I got $700 in gift cards to Dunkin' Donuts.
You can eat everything there. They have breakfast, lunch, and dinner, essentially. Drinks. Why wouldn't you want that? I'd take that. Tell them I'll buy 50 cents on the dollar right now.
But again, that's not a gift. There's no thought in that. Who are you giving thoughtful gifts to?
We did one. My wife baked cookies for a chiropractor.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's
nice.
Personal.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And that's why your wife is a good person. Now, what do you do?
Do you think those cookies are just going to bake themselves?
You don't bake
them. No, I think your wife's going to bake them.
Right, and so it takes a village. That's a team effort.
You haven't contributed anything to this team. You're not even on the team. It's not even a team.
To bake cookies?
I'm like...
Baking is an individual sport.
Uh-huh.
I don't think the cookies would be nearly as good if I weren't around.
I'm going to guess that you get Christmas gifts for your wife, for your mother,
sure,
and for your children.
Right. But the good news, here's the best part. So because you know, kids have got, like, you know, grandparents, they always come in. My mom comes in big.
Well, grandparents are four.
Spoiler alert. Well, they already know this. They're getting the Chromebooks from grandma.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's big time.
Wow.
They're getting Chromebooks.
They're not even in double digits yet.
But I don't have to do – I mean, really? There's nothing I have to do. I throw in a couple books.
I'm surprised you don't get competitive with that. I'm surprised you don't want your kids to know that daddy got them the best
gift. I want them to know that grandma is where the bank is. Why do I want to be the one? No.
That very much surprises me, because if there's one thing that's true about you – it's that you want everyone to think you're the greatest. I'm surprised you would cede that.
I want grandma to spend all the money and for dad to just kind of reap the reward. What do I care? I don't need to spend that money.
Well, now your kids think that your parents, their grandparents, are the best.
Sure.
And they think that dad is a cheapskate.
It's not my problem. It's not my problem. Dad's still the one who's got to take him to school in the morning.
See, I mean, I would agree with you if you didn't have an ego and a crippling need for everyone to like you.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I do need – I actually went over this today yesterday with someone, my need to be kind of liked and so forth. But
you went over it with me.
No, but I had it with someone else who thought it was more that I always wanted everyone to think I'm a nice guy. Right. So
we talked about
that. No, but I that conversation was precipitated by a conversation with someone else who happened to not be my therapist, which would have been better. I had to cancel this week, if you haven't noticed. A little on edge. So that all said, I don't need my kids to like me, though. That's kind of a default. Right? Think about that. I want Jack Ford to like me.
Tell me that when they're teenagers.
Yeah, you take that for granted.
No, but you don't need your – no, I'm just saying you get nothing out of that. Your kid's liking you, I mean, yeah. But if you're like, oh, Bryant Gumbel likes me, that's cool. Yeah. That is perhaps the most morally bankrupt thing I've ever said, right?
Yeah.
And on that note, here's what's coming up in the classroom this morning. Yes, we are going to touch on the world of sports. A little bit has been going on during the holiday break, and we'll get into that. In our next segment, we're going to talk about the major story in college football. A number of marquee players not playing in their team's bowl games simply because they want to get ready for the NFL draft, protect their financial futures at perhaps the expense of their college team. We will also get into the Marist College Center for Sports Communications annual year-end poll ranking the best moments in sports. Plus, we'll debate an esoteric sports topic in Nesha Dale, upgrades of the week, and a whole lot more after this. Class is in session. Come on back. You're on Fox 1220, 97.3 ESPN Radio. Welcome back in the classroom. There we go. Hard for me to talk this morning on Christmas Eve. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, ESPN The Classroom. Follow us on Twitter at ESPN_Classroom. Podcasts are available on iTunes. Search for ESPN The Classroom. I'm Jeff Braltes. Dr. Keith Strudler runs the Marist College Center for Sports Communication. Mike Wallace hanging out with us, helping to produce this Christmas Eve show. And it got kind of dark in our studio during that last break, as I think we realized why this little oddball two-hour weekly program that we have, why it works. And basically the reason is Keith Strudler and I have personal deficiencies that complement each other very well. I think Mike Wallace summed this up the best. What did you sum up about us during that last break?
Dr. Strudler is morally bankrupt. Mm-hmm. Jeff Brault is emotionally bankrupt.
Yeah.
I can't argue with that.
But I'm a bad guy who needs love. And you're a fine human being who is just
who can't
distance.
Love.
Yes, who can't
love. Who can't love.
Well, yes.
All men are islands. Isn't that how the saying goes? But I am Hugh Grant in About a Boy before the boy knocks on his door. That's me.
That's a movie I haven't seen.
And Hugh Grant is living a great life. A great life. He's got a posh apartment, plenty of money, work too hard, great hobbies, lots of women, life.
I bet you he got divorced after his situation, right?
In real life?
Yes.
I don't know. That was a little before my time when all that happened.
That was a big deal.
Yes.
That was a big deal.
I don't know much about it.
Who's he married to now?
I don't know that either.
Could you get that for us, Mike? Who Hugh Grant's married to?
Is there a reason? just natural curiosity is kicking.
Well, because I just that was a big story, and so you know, I remember that. I was never a big Hugh Grant fan. That was a thing. And I'll tell you what. I went to see what was the movie he did. You know, was it 9 months or something like that?
That is a movie he did.
Right. I went to see that. I went to see that with a girl that I really liked, mm-hmm. And she was like crying, and I was like, "This is stupid." And I felt like I had to cry a little bit, like I had to be like, "Oh yeah," and I was like, "This is stupid." And so I just kind of resented having to kind of fake that I thought that was sweet or something like that.
And you put that on Hugh Grant.
I put it on Hugh Grant. Yeah, because Hugh Grant made a saccharine, horrible movie that was constructed just to make girls like the one I was watching this movie with teary-eyed, even though there was literally nothing about this that had any emotional draw whatsoever. I mean, it was horrible. And so I sat there and kind of faked, like, oh, yeah.
Do you have a movie that is kind of socially unacceptable for you to like? Like, do you like any chick flicks? Like, movies
oh, yes.
that you can't admit to liking?
Well, I'll admit to liking.
Because mine's a Hugh Grant movie.
No, there's nothing. There's nothing that I won't admit to liking.
Wait, can I guess?
Well, I'd like to know what are some things that you like that if you
also, it's Anna
say,
Eberstein.
Said publicly, you know, you'd be like, you know, other people would think that's embarrassing.
Well, I like, not only do I like the, on Bravo, what's the Real Housewives programs?
Real Housewives?
I like the after show.
Oh, wow. I tell you what, I actually also have a guilty Bravo pleasure as well. I can't believe I'm admitting this. Mine is Vanderpump Rules.
Oh, yeah.
Love the Vanderpump Rules.
But so I like all the – who does the after –
Mike Wallace is judging us so hard right now.
Who's the after show guy?
Andy Cohen.
Andy Cohen. Anything Andy Cohen does, I'm all into. Andy Cohen's after shows are delicious. I watch that all night.
Just describe something as delicious.
All night.
Food.
I would be great on his show, too, by the way. I want to get Andy Cohen to the Hannah Storm event.
Okay.
He'd be good.
Is he based out of New York or L.A.?
Boy, that's interesting. I feel like he's a New York guy.
I got to feel that way, too, but I would imagine all the celebrities and whatnot, that he's got to be on the West Coast.
But isn't a lot of that out? Where's Bravo? A lot of TVs in New York.
I don't know.
Movies are in L.A.
Which Housewives are in season, Orange County or New York? Out. This is important to know. Maybe he goes where the Housewives are.
Find out where you need to find out where before this segment's over. Find out where Andy Cohen lives.
Also, okay. I believe we have an update on Hugh Grant's wife,
Anna Eberstein, girlfriend, longtime girlfriend.
Okay, she does not strike me as a famous person.
Nope.
No, but so the wife that he was, I forget who it was. He
hasn't been with her since 2000.
And that's who?
That is. I have it.
Okay. We'll wait.
2000.
And that is Elizabeth Hurley.
I thought it was Elizabeth Hurley. Yeah. That is a good looking woman.
But you know how that ended.
How'd that end?
I do. It ended with Hugh Grant's troubles, didn't it?
Hugh Grant may have.
She has since been
paid
married
for services,
twice.
Yes.
And then
that was the end of it. He got caught.
So that ended.
Turns out also, he was not purchasing the goods that he thought he was. Kids, Google it. Google it. It's not a place to tell you. What's your stance? Oh, I didn't tell you my guilty pleasure Hugh Grant movie that I like that's not socially acceptable, like Notting Hill.
But I mean, there's. I'll watch.
You're gonna say Love Actually.
Yeah.
No. You know my stance on Christmas.
I will. Yeah. I will watch.
And
I mean,
Love.
There's almost no movie. Or
and
no
actually,
no TV show that's not gonna that I won't. I won't
what's
watch.
Your stance? Because this my heart broke this week. What's your stance on a famous person like Hugh Grant dating a normal?
a non-famous. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it because I'll tell you why. It gives us kind of hope.
I guess that's how
you
look at it.
Yeah, no, that's
because I want to be with famous people. So the idea that
you know what happened to me this week, literally to me. You know what happened to me this week.
A pretty girl told you to grow a beard.
That did happen to me. That was actually a couple weeks ago. Okay. It was actually a couple months ago. I just got around to it this week. I'm nothing if not timely. You know my celebrity crush, Margot Robbie.
I've forgotten.
Oh, you and everybody else?
And Margot Robbie, this week, in a surprise ceremony, got married.
Oh, is that true?
Got married too. This gets worse. I'd be fine if she married a movie star, multimillionaire, that's fine. Some sort of business person, great. You know, a magnet, an industry titan, fine. A professional athlete, that would make sense. She married a second assistant director. Basically just a guy who works behind the scenes.
Yeah, I'm checking it out right now.
He's a regular looking dude. That guy ain't got nothing on me.
Well, he's got one thing on you right now.
Margot Robbie.
And I'll tell you this. Well, we went over this last week on the program about the home show. What's it called?
Flip or Flop.
Flip or Flop.
Oh, they're having some trouble in the Flip or Flop world.
But what's her name?
I don't know. I've never seen it.
She is already dating someone, and the guy she's dating,
Christina El Moussa.
Yes, the guy she's dating.
It was gorgeous.
I swear to God. Looks like he could work at an oil refinery. Like, nothing wrong with that, but I'm just saying, like, he is not superstars, and she is spectacular.
Some women are into that, hence the beard.
So I'm just, but yeah, I'm looking at this guy that Margot Robbie is married. Now, by the way, I give this 6 months tops. This is not going the distance.
I don't know, it could be true love.
It's not true love.
Well, it is for that guy.
Well, this guy's holding on for the, but no, here's the thing about this guy now. Now he's in. Right. Like, the next girl he dates is also, like, he's in the circle.
Right. He's been validated. They stamped his passport. That's how it works.
I mean, 100%. Why do you think I spend so much time hanging out with famous people? Because I'm creating that circle. That's the thing.
But they don't want you in
that's
the circle.
That's not true.
They're trying to box you out.
No. So that's the thing. I'm so close to being a part of that circle that's why I do it. That's why I do it. Like, I'm in that world. I'm in that world. So it's exactly the same thing. I'm getting my passport stamped.
You're delusional.
No. Next thing you know.
You're not in that world so much as I don't have a chance to date Margot Robbie.
Oh, that's not true. That's not what you're going to see on April 20th when I'm giving out my second Lifetime Excellence Award in sports communication.
I bet that if you ask any of the people that were on stage with you at the first one, which was, what, last October?
Yep.
If you ask anybody who was on the stage with you, short of Brian Gumbel, who you have a professional relationship with,
yeah,
not a single one of them remembers
I
you.
Could call Jane Pauley right now and she'd say, hey, Keith, that could happen.
Prove it.
Not going to do it on the air.
Christmas Eve, call her up. If she was a true friend, she'd be happy to hear from you.
She would be happy.
Jane, just wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Yep.
One friend to another.
Yep.
I value your friendship. Thank you. Goodbye.
It's a very awkward conversation to have on the air. So Jeff is now checking out the picture of the woman on Flip or Flop and her new love interest. Jeff is nodding in, shall we say, surprise.
A little shocked.
Not what he was expecting.
The guy in the background is the new guy, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I feel like he's going to sell me a life insurance policy.
his mustache has handlebars.
No, it doesn't.
Well, they're going down.
That's a goatee. Yes.
Yeah, oh, it's not a full goatee. It's not a full
handlebars have to go out like
yeah,
Raleigh fingers.
Out.
What, yeah, well, I know
that's
that, but what is
so
that?
So that's a Fu
goatee
Manchu.
Goes down.
That's a Fu Manchu.
Yeah, but
yeah,
it,
I guess.
Yeah, I
from a distance, I couldn't see that he doesn't have any whiskers on the chin. Yeah. That's
all
a Fu Manchu.
Right. Let's get into our sports program 36 minutes into the show.
Here's this morning's big story.
It's the big story.
And that's all the time we've got in the classroom today.
You know what? When we come back next semester, I'm going to tell Oliver, I love it. I want it longer.
Longer. Longer.
More explosions.
That's not even half the time of the Grades of the Week set.
More explosions.
It is college football bowl season. However, some of the best players in college football do not care to participate, namely Louisiana State running back Leonard Fournette, Stanford running back Christian McCaffrey, two highly regarded NFL prospects. They have decided that they will sit out their team's bowl game to prepare for the NFL draft, both to protect themselves from injury and also to begin the very specialized training required to have the best combine performance possible, which can raise your draft stock and also, therefore, your bank account by hundreds of thousands of dollars. Reactions to this news have ranged from, yeah, all right, whatever, yeah, to this is the end of college football as we know it. Keith Strother, where do you come down?
First of all, I think it's interesting, both running backs, and a position where you are always vulnerable and very easily replaced.
Probably no position in professional football has a shorter shelf life than the running back.
Right, and I think running backs should get out of college as quickly as possible and start making money because there's just a durability factor.
It's a mileage position.
Yeah. And so I completely understand this. I also understand that a lot of players have taken out insurance policies that would pay them a decent amount, several million dollars, mm-hmm. not as much as they would earn over the course of a successful NFL career. But understanding a three-year term life package on most NFL careers, you got to get money when you can.
Yeah, I believe Christian McCaffrey's insurance policy, if he was to suffer a catastrophic injury in college, I think it's $5 million.
Yeah. That's good money, actually. Now, Leonard he may not
Fournette
even.
Fournette is $10 million.
Well, Fournette's a little bit better running. Yeah. But regardless, there's a couple of things that I think are really interesting. First off, they're not playing in marquee bowls.
Exactly.
So that kind of lends some, you know, some. I don't know. I think we understand a little bit more. If they're playing in the national championship, we'd expect them to continue to play.
And I think they would also continue to play.
I also think that certainly Fournette would have gone to the NFL last year if he could have.
I agree.
And I think that's part of the problem is we're not letting athletes pursue their careers because we have some kind of artificial notion of when they should be allowed to enter the NFL.
Well, I don't think we have that artificial notion. The NFL wants it that way. I think you and I are on the same page. We are against the NFL age limit. Yep. We are against the NBA yep. age limit.
And the NFL one makes a little more sense, at least because they're the physical nature of the game. It probably would be helpful to be a little older. However, you should let the GMs make that decision.
Exactly. I don't necessarily think it makes a little more sense. I think you can make a better argument for it, but at the end of the day, everybody's different, yep. and it shouldn't be up to, you know, you shouldn't deny somebody the opportunity to do something if the market deems
right.
them
and look,
eligible.
In baseball, these guys aren't ready to play when they're 18 either, but mm-hmm. they throw them in the minor leagues, and they weed them out that way. So I think there's collusion with the NFL and college football, which actually ends up working out really well for us because we get to watch it. But the second interesting thing that I didn't see play out all that much, and we saw the narrative where – some people said, how dare you? You've been taking this scholarship money. You owe it to your teammates. That's nonsense. These bowl games mean mm-hmm. nothing. I don't think a single person on either of these teams would say, you've let us down. These bowl games are exhibitions which are done essentially to prepare for next season anyway. So the best thing these guys could do is sit down and let the next guys stand up and start practicing.
There was a scorching hot take this week that said that McCaffrey and Fournette should have to pay back their scholarship money this
That's
year
ridiculous.
Because they're sitting out the
That's
bowl
That's great. And everyone had a bad day at work should send their paychecks back to their boss, right? I mean, what do we work, like 3 hours collectively this week? I mean, are we going to send our money?
Here's what I do think we have learned. Because this is a new phenomenon.
Sure.
Most of the time in the past, players have not just flat out announced that they're not going to play
in their
bowl game.
They may have kind of dialed it back.
Sure. And they very well may have had a quote-unquote ankle injury.
Yes.
And, you know, I actually give credit to Fournette and McCaffrey for just being honest about it.
Do it.
However, the reason this exists is because now with the college football playoff, these other bowls are even more irrelevant than they may have been in the past.
The Holiday Bowl is completely irrelevant. Although it got interesting because Minnesota was playing it, but they're irrelevant.
Every bowl but the big three, the playoff bowls, are now irrelevant.
Even the ones that used to be big, the BCS style bowls,
just doesn't matter.
Now there are some good games. You'll see Oklahoma play, and they're good football. But in fact, some of those games are really, really interesting.
Absolutely.
But you're right; they don't hold any appeal because the only thing that matters are the four teams that are going to be advancing.
And I think what we need to stop is this process of a lot of college football people this week trying to convince the rest of us that the bowls matter. These things matter. They're important. No, they're not. They're important to the people that are fans of the two teams that are playing. If you have a good matchup, one of the more marquee bowls, they're important to the people that are fans of college football. But literally, they are consolation bracket exhibitions.
They're important to the sponsors that get a day.
They're important to the schools make money.
Yeah, but I'm saying, you know, they're opportunities. There's marketing opportunities, chance to entertain clients. I mean, they're glorified exhibitions.
But don't try to sell me that these bowls aren't losers' bracket games.
I mean, really, they're shows more than anything. They're just shows. They're exhibitions put on television.
And some of them are good, but most of them are awful.
Most of them are
awful.
Do you
know what I didn't watch this week? I didn't watch
BYU,
Wyoming. I didn't watch it. You put the record. The records are on
That's
the screen.
A real Western game.
The records are on the screen. I'm like, BYU 8-4, Wyoming 8-5. Woo!
But I like it when you get like a 6-6 team from a non-power five conference, like North Texas. I mean, how does that work? Like, how is that good? So I do agree with you. What I was interested to see if it was going to play out this week, and I didn't pay close enough attention to know whether there was an actual narrative there, and I think it would probably take an academic to do some content analysis on whether this played out. And one of those athletes you described was white and one is black. And there's always been this kind of undercurrent, this kind of subtly racist undercurrent, I would say, against African-American athletes of you should be happy you have this opportunity. I think that's one of the reasons that so few people have supported paying college players in the first place. And we've noticed when we break that, we do that poll with the Marist poll every year, and we've done it for Real Sports, and we've always noticed that African-American sports fans are much more likely to support paying athletes, and white sports fans are much less likely. I was interested to see whether people might give a white running back from Stanford a little bit more leeway than an African-American running back from LSU. I didn't have enough time to really pay that close attention, and I think it would take a real detailed analysis and kind of an interesting research project. But that's always been a little bit of the undercurrent of you should be happy. And that to me is always this kind of subtle undercurrent of the you should be happy with your scholarship, you owe it to your school. And there's an element of servitude, particularly in the kind of ecosphere where it's primarily black athletes playing primarily for a white fan base and white coaches. And so I've never liked that rhetoric of you should be happy with that scholarship. You owe it to your team. That sounds a little bit more like indentured servitude, particularly for athletes that are not actually getting paid for their services. Now, if these guys were getting a paycheck, maybe they should show up. Like, if these guys were getting paid to go to a bowl game.
Well, they would show up.
Yeah. Other than like an Xbox and well, they get good gift bags. We haven't gone over the gift bags
yet. But even the gift bags, they're capped at $550. So
is that actual cash? How do they calculate that?
That's
is that
the
like
value of the product?
Is that like Price is Right value, where like a coffee table is like $900?
Kind of. It's your manufacturer's suggested retail price. So if they're like, you get a pair of Oakley sunglasses, they're worth $120 or whatever.
I always like that on the Price is Right, where they have something on and people are trying to guess. They're like, I could probably buy that for like $400 or $500. And they're like, the correct bid was $1,850. You're like, what? He's paying $1,850 for that pinball machine. Like, they always do that.
I think it's a good price for a pinball machine. Talking full-size arcade-style pinball?
What's a pinball? Maybe that was a bad example. What's a pinball
machine? Pinball machines are a couple grand. You're thinking like a toaster.
Yeah. If I have
they
money,
jack up the prices so they look like premium products.
Well, if I have money left in the budget at the end of the year, I think a pinball machine would
be. No, we've been talking about this for years. It's a bubble hockey table.
I have one in my house, though.
Yeah, but that does us no good.
It gets boring after a while.
Right. You have no one to play with. Imagine if you brought it here. You could play with all your friends. I have not seen, back to your original point, I have not seen anyone okay with what Christian McCaffrey's doing but not okay with what Leonard Fournette is doing. I tell you what, I'd like to read that take. I think that'd be a very tough needle to thread without just titling it Racist Thinks.
Well, I'm wondering, though, if not necessarily that they're giving one athlete more leeway and another athlete less leeway, but rather whether one athlete's almost dragged the narrative a little bit. The fact that McCaffrey's doing it might have validated that, because I've seen way more people say, oh, that's okay.
Maybe. Fournette did do it. He declared first that he wasn't going to play.
But
McCaffrey came out a few days later.
I've seen way more people say, yeah, I understand. He's getting ready for the NFL draft. And I expected to see a lot less of that.
I'll tell you what I'm actually surprised by. That it hasn't happened before and that it isn't happening more now. I mean, we saw this with golfers in the Olympics. As soon as Jordan Spieth came out and Jason Day came out and Rory McIlroy came out and said, we're not going, it gave cover for everybody else to come out and say, well, we're not going either.
Oh, yeah.
And then that just everybody started going way down the list.
That's like when you're like, you going to that office party? As soon as someone's like, yeah, I'm not going either.
You know, Fournette and McCaffrey are marquee names.
Did you go to the Marist office party?
I was traveling. I was in New Hampshire.
Do you like those?
I like the Marist one because I'm actual friends with a lot of those people. So we're friends outside of work.
Sure.
So usually it's a good time. You know, you just hang out with your friends, but somebody else is picking up the tab.
I'm talking about the one they have in the little in the cabaret.
Oh, heck no. No. Athletics Christmas party I would go to.
I don't get an invite to that. I probably should.
You're not part of the athletic department.
No, but I'm such a friend.
But to be fair, we're a friendly group. We would allow you to come.
I feel like they should, but I'm not going to go until I'm invited.
That's smart. Otherwise, that's, you'd be crashing.
No, but I understand that if I showed up, people would probably be okay with it. But I feel like I want a foreign.
No, they think it was weird.
No.
They would absolutely think it weird. They'd be like, why is this guy here?
No, I know everyone there.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they wouldn't think it was weird that you were there.
I'm just right. I'm like on the cusp of that.
Here's why it'd be weird. Mike Wallace, if Keith Strudler walked into a house party that you were having with fellow interns from the Marist College Center for Sports Communication, would that be weird?
That would be weird. Because this would be a 19-year-old, 20-year-old having a house party and me showing up.
Ooh. Well, you're not part of that circle either.
Yeah, but that's weird for another reason. You guys would love it if I showed up. Don't kid yourself.
They would love it. Marist, in fact, has a day every year where students and professors get together and
I don't
carouse.
I don't do that. I don't go.
You should go.
I don't like
I would
it.
Think you they no, would love to see you.
I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable.
Mm, it is an uncomfortable situation.
I'm not that guy. I don't need I'm comfortable. I don't need to show off to be cool to the kids. Like I'm cool. Like I just am cool. I don't need
You know what's not cool?
Saying you're cool?
No.
Yeah.
All cool people walk around talking about how cool they are.
I'm sure that
James Franco is holding a sign over his head right now.
I'm sure. Look, I'm sure there's a little thing about how cool I am. You don't have to say it. I get it. So I'm just saying, I don't need to show up at a frat party. Like, I'm not doing that. I'm not Larry Eustace. I'm not going that route.
Don't show up at a frat party.
Here's what I'd like to see in college football. This is my utopian vision for this time of year in college football.
I'll call Jack Ford and make it happen.
Please do. The FBS goes to a playoff system the same as the FCS, 16 teams.
Never going to happen.
And we greatly reduce the number of stupid bowls.
Never going to happen.
I'm aware because of the money.
You know what else I would
if our
water fountains served Kool-Aid?
Sure. That's actually easier to do than you think. Adam Sandler did it in the movie Mr. Deeds. That's Hawaiian Punch. But I said utopian vision. And wouldn't that be better for everyone except for the people making millions of dollars on quote-unquote amateur athletics?
How do you like Hawaiian Punch more than Kool-Aid?
Hmm.
Hawaiian Punch is good. It's got like a tang to it.
Yeah, see, I'm a big fan of only one flavor of Kool-Aid, Tropical Punch. That's the really only flavor of Kool-Aid I like. So Tropical Punch Kool-Aid I like more than Hawaiian Punch, but I like Hawaiian Punch more than every other flavor of Kool-Aid.
I love the cans of Hawaiian Punch, those big cans. They still make the big cans?
I'm sure they do. Oh, the one where you have to, like, punch the top?
Yes.
I'm sure they do.
Those were awesome. Just amazing.
That makes a great, satisfying glug when you pour it.
Oh, my God, glug, glug. Oh, God.
Make the glug again.
Glug, 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 glug.
Mike Wallace, your perspective on players of elite caliber in college football shunning their bowl games.
Go for the money. That's what I do.
Yeah, and me too.
Yeah.
Here's what I wonder. Is anybody now not viewing this game because McCaffrey's not playing or Fournette's
Who's
not
Stanford
playing?
I
honestly have no idea.
Doesn't
I
matter.
Pay no these it's bowls are so irrelevant
game.
To me. I don't know what bowls are in, I don't know who they're playing. I pay no attention to bowl season outside of the college football playoff because what does it matter? These games are stupid.
I'll watch them.
Sure, if I flip through the channels and see a good game, like if I flip through and I happen to catch the Western Michigan game, yeah, I'll watch it because I think PJ Flex a loon and I want
to
watch that.
Oh, Stanford, well, they won the lottery. They're going to El Paso.
Oh, God. That's why McCaffrey's not playing. He wants to go to El Paso.
Yeah. So I guess Shreveport was not available. That's a good game, though. The Cardinals play North Carolina. I mean, it's a decent
game. It's a fine game.
I've watched that regular season.
But here's why it's not that interesting. There's nothing on the line.
It's a scrimmage.
It's a glorified
scrimmage.
Exactly.
Warm.
And where's LSU going?
I'm looking that up right now. Oh, they're going to the Chick-fil-A Bowl.
Ooh, Chick-fil-A sauce. That's probably in Atlanta.
The Chick-fil-A Bowl. No,
the Peach Bowl's in Atlanta, sponsored by Chick-fil-A.
Yeah,
where's the Chick-fil-A Bowl?
I'm looking that up. I gotta figure. Oh, are they? No, maybe I may have this wrong. They may be going to the Citrus Bowl.
Citrus Bowl.
That's in Orlando.
Yeah.
They're going to be playing. Oh, that's actually an interesting game. See, it's a good game. You got LSU playing Louisville.
Sure, that would be a very interesting game.
If it mattered.
Lamar Jackson is there to get his swag bag and go home.
It's that not just the Citrus Bowl. This one doesn't make a lot of sense. The Buffalo Wild Wings Citrus Bowl.
Does not make a lot of
sense.
It's
not a good. You want to have like the a fruit company, Tropicana.
That would make more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That would make a lot of sense.
Citrus Bowl.
Get on that, marketing people. But here's.
We got to go.
Is anybody who was going to watch those games now not going to watch them?
I don't know. We'll have to call them. We'll deal with that. We have to take a break.
All right. We'll be back after this. More of the Clash in My Head. Fox 12 20 97.3 ESPN Radio. Can you tell that we keep our holiday shows a little light? Happy Christmas Eve, everyone. I'm Jeff Brault alongside Dr. Keith Strubber.
We also got Hanukkah.
Mike Wallace.
Other holidays.
Kicking around as well. Is it Hanukkah right now? Are we in Hanukkah?
Yeah, I mean, we're right on the cusp here.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's coming up.
Yeah, it's right now.
Okay. Next week, you might think we'd take off because it's New Year's Eve, but you'd be wrong. You probably thought we weren't going to be on with you today on Christmas Eve. Well, ha ha ha. But we're with you next week on New Year's Eve. And like this morning, we're going to keep it a little light, a little airy. We're going to do a year-end wrap up, you know, some of the big stories in sports. But we're also going to have some fun. What should we do?
Ugly sweater?
It's a radio show.
Oh, we might have the live stream next week.
Why?
We won't. The interns are still.
Why?
Yeah, everybody's still
we
on break.
About it.
We could. Oh, we can we get people here?
Yeah.
Can Matt do it?
I'm not buying an ugly sweater just for the show.
All right. No, you don't have to. Okay. But if we'll Matt can do it, we might have a live stream.
Okay, maybe.
Yeah, we might.
We need we to might. Come up. Oh, you know what? You know what we need to do? We need to give out our year-end superlatives.
Okay, the best of.
We need to give out to every intern, we need to assign them an award.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you've got a good idea for what we should do on our New Year's show, tweet at us at ESPN_Classic.
It's your show next week. It's your show. This is our gift to you. You plan the show.
You didn't expect a Christmas Eve show. You got one. And we're telling you right now, you're going to get a New Year's Eve show as well. So stay tuned for that. More Classroom next week. 10 a.m. to noon here on Fox 1220 97.3 ESPN Radio. We got to go to break. Another hour next. We go to the second hour of the Classroom from the Lowell Thomas Communications Center on the campus of Marist College. Feliz Navidad. I'm Jeff Brault alongside Dr. Keith Strudler, runs the Marist College Center for Sports Communication. Mike Wallace hanging out as well. It's our Christmas Eve show. We're keeping it light, having some friendly banter here in the classroom. We are talking about sports a little bit. We got into marquee college football players skipping their meaningless bowl games earlier. We'll talk about the Marist College Center for Sports Communications top sports moments of the year poll that was released this week. Get into something I think we can all agree on and all bond over this time of year. Hatred of the Duke men's basketball team. But first.
No, don't go here.
While we were planning our future shows, right? We were talking to you before the timeout about what we're going to do in our New Year's show. We got to thinking 2 weeks out. What are we going to do on our first show of the new year?
Well, it turns out you're not going to do anything.
I won't be here. I'll be in Buffalo. As we discussed at the top of the program, I'm a very busy man.
Right.
And I got to be in Buffalo.
You've left the team.
So I will be absent from the classroom that day. But apparently, I will not be the only one traveling. Apparently, Keith Strudler will be likely down in Florida.
Well, I have an opportunity. Mm-hmm. I have an opportunity to tag along for Brian Berger of the Sports PR Summit, his podcast with the CEO of the College Football Playoff, Bill Hancock.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be taking place on a Friday.
And a long story short, you believe that if you wanted it, you could have access to the College Football Championship on Monday.
I got to believe, because of the crowd I will be with when you're with the head of the playoff and a bunch of other people, I got to believe I could finagle my way into that situation.
So a quick role play. You be you. I'll be College Football Playoff CEO Bill Hancock. Hey, Keith. Great to see you. Would you like to sit in my box for the championship game? We got plenty of room for you. Vegetarian options. The finest Diet Coke.
That is my wheelhouse.
You know who's going to be there? Lots of famous people.
You're making this much more difficult than it needs to be.
What do you say?
Bill, that's a very generous offer. You know, I've enjoyed meeting you today. I really hope this is not just a short term, but really an enduring friendship. And I look forward to taking many trips with you on your private Learjet. But, I mean, Bill, you have a family, right, Bill?
I do, but I don't like them very much.
Well, Bill, you know how important family is.
Not to me. Nothing's more important than football.
Well, you know, Bill, me and the missus, we've got a 6, almost 7-year-old. God bless him. His name's Elliot.
That sounds awful, Keith. Tell me more.
Well, just so happens, it's right around the time of the celebration of his birth in early January, and so to commemorate that, we decided to have a celebration, a party, and we're going to be doing that at Spin's Bowling Alley in Wapentake Falls. Bill, you like bowling, right?
It's all right. I like football more. You know what else I like? Free food and famous people, of which I will be surrounded by on Monday night at the College Football Championship, as I am the CEO of the College Football Playoff.
Well, that does sound appealing, Bill. I'd love to take you up on that offer next year. I hope the tender still stands. But
so you're telling me you can't make it?
Well, I'm telling you, you know, Bill. I know how important family is to you. So I'm gonna have to hightail it back on Allegiant Air, sit in my $65 seat, and go back to the Hudson Valley and sit along with 13 first graders. Make sure no one accidentally urinates in their pants.
Are you crying?
I don't know. So I'm going to be, unfortunately, I'm going to be predisposed on Monday. I will be watching on television, though. Sounds like it's going to be a great time.
Well, Keith, I can't say I'm not disappointed. We were really looking forward to having you up at the box.
What kind of accent does Bill Hancock have?
And I know.
Is he Colonel Sanders?
Yeah.
No one can do this. It's a total breakdown.
And I know, Keith.
You're not going to be able to say whatever it is you're going to say. Oh, my God.
I know how much everybody will miss you.
Well, you know what?
I am judging you harshly as a person right now. I believe you are passing up a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Well, Bill, that's the difference between you and me. I think this opportunity is going to come around just right again next year.
Well, not for me, it won't.
And I look forward to seeing you on April 20th in New York City as we celebrate Hannah Storm.
Don't think I can make it. My daughter's going bowling with some friends that night. I got to make sure nobody pees in their pants.
So that's a conversation that could happen. It's sadly more likely than we may want to believe, because I will potentially be in a room with Bill Hancock for his podcast, and I will be getting on a plane if I do go to come back Saturday afternoon after I do the show from there, after we get Michael Wallace to commit to being in the studio Saturday morning. Where else are you going to be?
I say.
Where are you going to be?
I don't know.
It doesn't sound like
I have a life outside of you.
Don't make the man divulge his personal plans.
Yeah. Doesn't sound like he really wants to go to the Final Four now, does it?
Now, are you telling me, Keith Schroeder, that there is no way that Bill Hancock could convince you to sit in his box for the college football playoff?
Boy, that's
keeping in mind the alternative is skipping your child's 7th birthday party.
It's a real
skipping a meaningless birthday party for a bowl
game.
It's
not meaningless.
Well, to be fair, it's very possible that Elliot will have more birthdays than there will be college football playoffs.
That's true.
Or college football championships.
And if we're going to get all the cards out on the table, his birthday proper technically is on January 4th. So we're celebrating after the fact.
A belated birthday already. Ooh. So you're already, in a sense, missing his birthday. What if Bill Hancock sweetened the pot and said that also joining him...
Am I doing the coin flip now?
No. Also joining him in his private suite with the frosty Diet Cokes and the lovely vegetarian options,
yep.
Which can be hard to find at a major football championship.
I'm feeling sushi.
What if another invited guest was Jennifer Connelly?
God. Is she coming alone?
Oh, yeah. I don't know her marital status, but whatever it is.
Newly divorced Jennifer Connelly.
It's shaky. Shaky ground.
This is really challenging. I feel like this is like Moses coming down, trying to get into Egypt, and he sees them worshiping the cow. And Moses shouldn't go crazy. He shouldn't go crazy. It's going to cost him the trip to Israel. But he can't stop himself. They're all sitting there praying to a cow, for God's sakes. We've talked about that. There's one God, Adonai. We've been over this. Boy, I feel like this is, you know what? Oh, it's Jennifer Connelly, though.
Yeah, I know. That's your Margot Robbie.
Oh, wow, she's married to Paul Bettany.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I like Paul Bettany. Don't you break up that marriage.
Trust, I won't.
Won't or can't?
Yes.
The worst part is, I believe she has a house up, she was born in like the Catskill area.
Oh, how about that?
And what if she's driving home and happens to, unfortunately, wind up on this?
What if she's driving home and happens to stop in for a couple of frames of bowling?
Oh, my God. How bad would I feel if I go to the game and then she shows up, that's the irony.
That's the great irony. That would be the best comeuppance that the universe could possibly deliver in that situation.
I stay for a blowout football game, and Jennifer Connelly ends up at Spins and gets so excited about seeing all the kids there, she basically joins in the party. Ugh.
It's going to be a terrible weekend for you.
Because there's no win.
Good weekend for us.
It's all about the hypotheticals. Because it's always about what else, what could have been.
Mm. Yeah.
That's brutal.
Wow. Moral of this story. Mike Wallace, do you know what it is?
Don't have kids.
That's it. That's the moral.
Don't get married also? Is that like a sub-moral?
No. Marriage can be fine. Maybe.
Well, your view of marriage is it's a short-term arrangement. Mm-hmm. It's a day-to-day. It's a one-year renewable. It's like a scholarship.
I'm a big fan. I believe we've talked about this in the show. I actually believe marriage licenses should expire after 4 years.
Didn't we talk about this?
You should have to reconsider. I think this was Anna's idea. Every 4 years, you have to decide whether you want to renew your marriage license.
Yeah. That's great because you know what else that does? It also opens up – because the problem with getting divorced is you don't know what else is out there. But if it's a constant, you're like, oh, I'm on the same year. Like, it's like I graduated with this person, right? And so right. You know you're on the same. I think this came up when we were talking about my going to the movie The Lobster, where if you don't partner with someone, you get turned into an animal.
Yeah, that's when it came up. That was part of a discussion that we had once. Yeah. And I think it's a good idea. I think it makes sense.
For every 4 years. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm for it, but I understand the argument.
Me too. Yeah. Let's talk about the Marist College Center for Sports Communication.
I'm angry about this football game.
I know. It's a tough break for you.
I'm literally right there.
Is your kid at least good at bowling?
He's pretty good.
All right. So maybe he's got a future.
You should give your ticket to Anna.
Oh, Anna's not going to that game.
If Keith can't go, nobody can.
That's right. Oh, that's how bad is that going to be if Bill Hancock's like, hey, how about the two of you? You want to come? And Anna's like, oh, I'll definitely go. What am I going to be like? No, you won't. How do I say that? Just like that.
I think it's, yeah, you just did it.
You will fly yourself back to New York, Missy, and you'll go to my kid's birthday party.
Marist College Center for Sports Communication, in conjunction with the Marist poll, every year, ask the folks what they consider to be the biggest sports story of the year. Keith Streller, what won this year?
Cubbies. Decisively. I believe 56% of all sports fans chose the Cubs as the most significant sports accomplishment of the year, and it was. We've never seen a margin like that.
I cannot really argue with that. Mike Wallace, any argument?
No, not really.
Now, what were the other options?
So I actually see a counter argument, but it's one that's based on logic, not on emotion.
I have probably the same one you have.
And so second, I believe, was gymnastics at 20%. The women's gymnastics.
The Final Five gold medal.
After that came the Cavs.
That should be above the Olympic gymnastics
team. I believe that was at
8%.
Mm-hmm. I should have the poll in front of me. Okay. I believe that was at 8%.
I would put that above the Olympic gold medal.
I believe so. Because the reality is in the Olympic gold medal, there's only a few teams that have any chance at it.
No, there's really only one this year. America won before the competition.
Yeah. So it wasn't all that remarkable. I mean, it was cool.
Sure.
But,
it was great.
It was great. Good for us.
But that was – we were supposed to win that.
That's right. So that was – that finished – and that just kind of – the nationalism, that's an obvious story. After that, like I said, was the Cavs, which actually I think the Cavs had a very solid argument for being number one.
I agree.
I think the Cavs was more impressive than the Cubs. The Cavs were not the favorite. The Cubs were the favorite. And the Cavs being down 3-1 the way they were was worse than the way the Cubs were down.
I agree with you in the sense that I think it was a more impressive victory for the Cavs than it was an impressive victory for the Cubs, especially when you consider the team that the Cavs beat. I mean, the Cubs beat up on a depleted Indian side. However, I do believe that since both the Cubs and Cavs won, it's a bigger story that the Cubs ended the drought. I think the Cavs
ended a pretty good drought.
I think the Cavs, yes. I think the Cavs' victory was more impressive. I think the Cubs winning was a bigger story.
I happen to also think the LeBron story with the Cavs is very impressive as well. The fact that he just goes someplace and wills a team to a championship.
A place that he specifically went to win a championship.
Yep. And so to me, they're the side story, but no one, I mean, this became a Cleveland versus Chicago story as well. The last place finishing just ahead of not sure. Not sure they get 4%. How do you go not sure?
Maybe you're not a sports fan.
No, you've already. These are self-identified sports fans.
Oh, okay.
They've taken out the people that have said, I'm not a sports fan.
Well, then those people are awful.
I gave you five good choices.
Those people should not be allowed in public.
Well, I mean,
have an opinion, people. Have an opinion.
This is not, and I'm not saying, this is not like Russian roulette here. This
right.
is, I mean, what's it like going to a restaurant with someone like that?
Oh, my God.
I think, the burger sounds good.
Those are the people, those and the I people. Hate these people. I hate these people.
I think I know where you're going here.
That ask the server to choose between two things.
No, I. You know what's even
worse? I hate those people. No. There's nothing worse than people who are like, I'm torn. And it's never two similar things. It's never like, what's a better cut of meat, the ribeye or the strip steak? No. It's like, I'm torn. I either want a Cobb salad or the porterhouse for two. And they're relying on the waiter to make that decision?
Because this is one of the waiter. The waiter goes, they'll be like, so how's the ribeye? Anyway, ribeye's really good.
Yeah.
Well, how's the salmon?
It's also really
salmon's,
good.
I like the salmon, too. I mean, what's is he going to be like, salmon, not only awful, not fresh. Not fresh. So, I mean, what is a waiter going to say? Waiter's going to say, that's my favorite.
The way you question a waiter is you don't give them the options you're thinking of. You go, what's your house specialty? What's your chef's signature dish? You ask them what on the menu they consider to be the best thing.
What if they've been told to push the flounder?
That's fine. And if it's awful, bad tip.
I'm never a bad tip guy.
I'm not either. But then you know what? Bad Yelp review.
I don't like doing that.
I've never left a Yelp review.
So,
but that's a better thing to proposition your server with. Anyway, on to the next.
Yes, I don't understand. But these people, no, the thing that's worse than that are the people that go to an ice cream and they're like, I'd like to try. And they try like three or four ice cream flavors.
Oh, yeah, that's awful.
Just get something.
That's awful.
Just get something.
Especially because ice cream flavors don't. I understand a little bit if you're at one of those posh ice cream places and they have very odd flavors, new flavors that you don't
get
every
day. Pina colada, whatever it is.
But if you're looking at vanilla chocolate strawberry, make a choice.
I'd like to try the Rocky Road. I mean, it's marshmallows and nuts. And I mean, come on. Just try. Just eat it. Just eat it. Put in your big fat pie hole. Go get yourself another pair of jeans because those aren't going to fit anymore. And be on your way. All right? Still angry about this Bill Hancock situation. And so 4% said, I just can't make up my mind. Sorry.
And you gave them these choices, right?
We gave them five choices. What else do you want? Do I got to walk over to your house?
Even like I understand some people kind of being paralyzed and not being able to think of something in the moment. But for you to give them five choices and them to, instead of just blurting one out, be like, I'll go with D.
E! F!
Instead of just doing that, they go with, I can't do it. I just can't decide.
Those all sound good.
What was the fifth?
The fifth was Leicester City winning the Premier League against 5,000-1 odds.
That Leicester City winning the Premier League, we've talked about this on this program, is probably the most surprising result in the history of sports, period.
It's up
that
there.
Is mind-blowingly shocking.
And so that received 5% of the vote. And it was interesting. We actually had a back and forth. And not to get too deep into the weeds on how this stuff gets done, these things are put together really as a partnership between the Marist Poll, who executes the poll, obviously, and the Center for Sportscom, who really deals in the content area. And we go back and forth of what are the ones that you want in there. And Stephanie Calvano, she's a big sports fan. She works at the Marist Poll, so she's really into this. And she's like, look, the Cubs are going to win. And we all knew the Cubs were going to win.
And the Cubs should win. Leicester City shouldn't win this poll of Americans.
It's American sports fans.
Right. The fact is there aren't enough people that understand the context around Leicester City.
And so they actually wanted to have the Villanova game as the last choice. Okay. And I said, you know what? This is my argument. I actually feel good about it. I said, I don't need to know that college basketball is the fifth most popular. Because it would have been fifth as well. And it would have gotten a little bump in the Northeast, and that's how it would have worked. And we know that, right? What I wanted to know was, where does soccer fit in the greater landscape? That's more of an interesting story. We know where college basketball is and where it will always be. College basketball is big one weekend a year or one month a year, right? And people get real excited about it. They take days off from work. But it's not a major sport beyond that. Right?
Also, wasn't that shocking that Villanova won?
Well, it was a small school. That was
they were top seed.
They were top seed, but it was this. But regardless, it was, you know, college basketball for the most part has a cap. What was much more impressive was when Butler almost won,
And that twice in a row.
Yeah, twice in a row.
And I've said this before. I will go on record as saying it again. I believe up there with the statistical improbability of Leicester City winning the Premier League.
Butler's up there.
Butler making back-to-back national championship games is one of, if not the most impressive sporting accomplishment in history.
Mind-boggling. And if they had won one of those, it would have been real.
I've said that if Butler had beaten Duke, and if that Gordon Hayward half-court shot went in, that would have been the greatest sporting event of all time.
It would have been up there. It would have been up there. But so I feel good about the Leicester City
being included.
A, because we learn, look, soccer, at least Premier League, is still it's behind. That said, when you started to break down the numbers a little bit, it was actually third in people in respondents that were 18 to 29.
Interesting.
Now it's still third, a distant third at 10%.
Was that a distant third to the Cubs and the Cavs? Because I would imagine the Gymnastics would have skewed older.
It did, but no, I still think it was above the Cubs. It was above the NFL and above what was the other one?
Well, the NFL wasn't included.
Yeah, no, that was the other one. We had that one in there.
There was
Peyton Manning.
So the Broncos was
Broncos
in there.
Were in there. Yeah.
Okay. I forgot to mention that. Yeah.
It went the order was
Cubs, Gymnastics,
Cavs.
Oh, and then it was Broncos.
And then Leicester City.
Okay. Yeah. So I was going to say I would be curious to know because I mean there's nothing American sports fans like more than a hero riding off into the sunset as a champion.
I actually thought that that only got like 7%. It was just above 7 or 8%. It was just above Leicester City. It got almost no play. Now granted it happened. There is the recency effect that happened all the way back at the beginning of the year.
Very true.
What was it?
Yeah. No, that.
What was the male-female breakdown on gymnastics?
Skewed definitely more female. Definitely more female. And the numbers, if you go to the Marist poll or if you go, you can find all these numbers. But it definitely skewed far more female. But it was a solid second. It was considerably ahead of number three. The Cubs were just a landslide. But I actually thought Peyton Manning winning is fine. The question was phrased that way as well. So it was Peyton Manning winning the Super Bowl in his final game.
What was the actual question you were asking? What was the most blank sporting event of the year?
The most significant sporting accomplishment, I believe, of the past year. I should have
significant accomplishment. I think it has to be. I do agree. It has to be the Cubs. Well, but then again,
but the most
significant
accomplishment
would be Leicester City.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it was what was the biggest sports story or the biggest sports moment, I think it would have to be the Cubs. In terms of significance of accomplishment, and maybe we're being too literal, but in terms of significance of accomplishment.
I'll read you. I should know this because
what Leicester accomplished was just outrageous.
It's bad that I don't know my own poll. Which one of the following was the best single sports accomplishment of the year?
See, I that should be Leicester.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
But I do understand that not a lot of respondents are going
56,
to recognize
56%
that.
Cubs, 20% Gymnastics, Cavs, 8%. So I got this right. Broncos, 7%, and Leicester City, 5%. And, of course, you're unsure.
It's a pretty semantic argument. You know, we're arguing like people argue over the MVP voting. What does valuable mean? Mm-hmm.
But when you go to 18 to 29, a little bit more decisive, only 2% unsure. So, but 10%, so at number three was Leicester City, 18 to 29-year-olds, and 8% each for the NFL and the Cavs. Cavs getting really surprisingly little love. And it was a big deal when it happened. I remember it was a big deal, and it was LeBron. And LeBron, I still believe, in my heart of hearts, is by far the most famous and important athlete. And I think if we did not ask the single best athlete of the year, it's LeBron. Is there another athlete that could even come close to LeBron this year?
I wonder where Simone Biles fits
Simone
in.
Biles would be I still think LeBron would win.
I do too. Because I think a lot of people, I think a lot of people, if you say the name Simone Biles without the context, if you don't go, Olympic gymnast, a lot of people won't recognize it.
Yeah, I do find it interesting that soccer is, it's gaining ground amongst younger sports fans. The question is whether that momentum continues.
I mean, I think a big problem that the Premier League has, and Mike, you're a big soccer fan, you know this, is the matches are on at an odd time for it to just really absorb into the American populace. There are no prime time games in America. It's a Saturday morning sport.
Right. The most prime time soccer game you can get is 3:00 p.m.
So, by the way, 60 and over, 2% picked Leicester City.
Surprise, it's that high.
I think recency bias has a lot to do with those results, though.
Some of it.
But I don't think it would have switched the results, but I want to see how much closer they would be if Leicester won the Premier League in November and the Cubs won in May.
It probably wouldn't have skewed it that much.
My guess would be because you give them the option, it kind of takes a little bit of that away. I think if you left it open-ended, people would just go to what happened
most
recently.
Yeah. I will say this, and I'm actually surprised. The NFL should not be fourth in a poll like this.
It
happened a long time ago. Yeah. But when you read the question, and the question is phrased as the Denver Broncos winning the Super Bowl in Peyton Manning's final NFL game, and that would, by the way, that was the only question that had an athlete's name, or the only answer that had an athlete's name in it. The fact that Peyton Manning didn't elicit a significant response, that's surprising to me.
And this is obviously a national poll. It's not just New York. It's national. That is also surprising to me, especially because, I mean, even less than that, every kid's backyard dream is to be carried off the field, winning the Super Bowl in your final game.
And let's be honest, and we've been talking about for how long that baseball is dead and no one cares, right? So the fact that the NFL finished fourth, not 2 points ahead of a minor soccer club. I mean, come on.
The Cubs drought was so historic, though.
I understand.
I don't fault people for choosing
that.
But
I will say this does – we spent kind of a good year-end kind of cap. We spent a lot of time this year talking about the troubles the NFL may be encountering. Ratings are down. They've got concussion issues. They've got the domestic violence problem. All the things that everyone says, it's not that big a deal. It's not that big a deal. But it seems like there's, kinks in the armor a little bit. This poll, again, as a standalone, yes, you can make an excuse for it. It happened a long time ago. Maybe the game wasn't that exciting. The Cubs are the Cubs. LeBron's there. Yeah, it's an Olympic year. That always takes a lot of air out of the balloon. Whatever. It still shouldn't be fourth. It shouldn't. It certainly would never consider itself to be America's fourth sport. So I think taken in conjunction with all the other things that are happening around the NFL, probably something that is not great news for them. And good year for baseball.
What was your favorite sports moment of the year? Tweet at us at ESPN.
Spins bowling. That's my
favorite. I'll tell you what. If Elliott bowls a 300 game at his birthday party, put it on the list.
How mad would I be if the party somehow got canceled?
Oh, my God. Can you imagine if Elliott got sick?
Imagine if he
got food poisoning the night before.
Have you ever gone to your own birthday party sick? I have. I've thrown up my own birthday party.
This will surprise no one. I've had one birthday party in my life.
My God. Were you raised by design.
Wolves? My parents every year would be like, do you want to have a birthday party? I'd be like, no. Spend the money on a present.
Did you say like, no, sir? I'll retreat to my room for the evening.
No. We did not. Me and my family do not have that kind of relationship. We have a very like peer-like relationship. It's not formal in any way.
What's your dad's name?
Sounds Ron. Horrible.
No, thank you, Ron.
No, I'm not. No, it's never happened. But no, I believe I've only had one birthday party in my life. But again, that's what I wanted. I didn't want a birthday. I wasn't deprived of birthday parties.
When is your birthday?
September.
September what?
That's all I can tell you.
We're going to have to do a classroom birthday party, but it's going to be very childlike.
Kids theme? I want a bounce house.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to relive Jeff's missed childhood.
No, but it wasn't missed. I forfeited it. I didn't want it.
That is a coping mechanism.
My parents offered me. They offered me a birthday party every year. Every year was offered to me. But I'm a pragmatist. Wait,
who's the guy? Who's the movie maker? This sounds like a Wes Anderson film.
I'm a pragmatic guy. In my head, I hear, all right, so I can have a birthday party, and see all my friends that I see literally all the time anyway.
Have a good time, get cake, ice
cream.
Go
bowling, which is an activity that we're doing every week anyway. Yes. Or I cannot go through that rigmarole and get a much sweeter gift. Hook me up with that N64, Ma.
That's the saddest.
Don't buy cake and ice cream. No. Screw that. I want the new Legend of Zelda.
We've got to go.
How are you able to interact with other people?
He doesn't. This is it. It's only through the shroud of a microphone. There is no human interaction here. This is.
I'm sorry. Have either of you dealt with other people? You're telling me I got it wrong?
This is as closest relationship, the one he has through wires with us, this is by far the closest relationship that he has.
Sorry. How many people outside of your family and those that you are married to and related to, how many people do you like?
Oh, I like a lot of people.
Jennifer Connelly.
Two?
I was,
three?
Me and Frank. Oh, no.
If that.
I got a lot of friends.
But how many? I have a lot of friends, too. How many do you like?
I like them all. I like everybody. I like people.
You judge them all harshly, and you think you're better than everyone.
I am,
well,
just because I'm better than
them. Say it. Say it.
I can like people that I'm better than. It's not equal. Can we go to break now?
We're back after this. We're going to talk about Grayson Allen getting suspended after tripping an opponent for the third time this year. An indefinite suspension levied on Grayson Allen by Mike Krzyzewski. We'll hate on Duke next. Who doesn't love that? Here in the classroom on Fox 1220 97.3 ESPN Radio. It's kind of amazing how much this radio show turns into therapy for us. For all of us here in the classroom.
It's been a very sad evening.
It's your weekly smart look at sports.
Upset.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
But it's really been sad.
I don't know if you could tell, but the three of us, Jeff Brault, Dr. Keith Strother, and Mike Wallace, we're the three jolliest men this side of the nut house. No doubt about that.
Sitting here on New Year's Eve.
I am.
Just getting. Well, Jeff, I mean, Mike is a little. He's all like.
I get the feeling that Mike really likes Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
I love Christmas, yeah.
What do you like about
Mike
it?
Mike likes everything.
Everything. Yeah, I like everything. You're just ruining
the
whole
sell on Christmas. What do you like about Christmas?
Everything that you hate. How about you list everything you hate about Christmas, and I'll say, yeah, I probably like
it. I don't necessarily hate anything about Christmas. I just find the whole process a little tedious.
Pedantic.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I do. I don't think it's anything that couldn't be done at any other time. Now, I'm also not a religious person. I understand there are people out there that are religious and like to celebrate the holiday for religious reasons, and I respect that.
Not many.
Now, exactly right. I believe that is becoming an increasingly smaller minority of people, and that most people just treat it as a chance to have friends and family over, to eat a big meal, and give each other gifts, which they could do literally any time.
But you don't.
But they, for some reason, gin it up that it's somehow special because it's happening tonight and tomorrow, as opposed to, say, next week, when it just wouldn't be special at all.
Well, I mean, that's fine, but you don't. You don't bring gifts to everyone all the time.
But you could.
You could.
And you know what? You know what's a more meaningful gift?
Oh, what? Yeah, you just walk in.
Just because.
Oh, yeah.
Just because.
That happens all the time.
Christmas, you're giving gifts of obligation.
I took you guys to the Iron Bowl. I took you guys. That was a gift.
That was a work trip. I earned my keep. I did a wonderful broadcast. A wonderful broadcast. Now,
I earned mine through tons of unpaid hours.
Mike Wallace has done. He did us a mitzvah by coming in over the summer, by coming in on his Christmas break to help produce this program.
Totally a mensch.
Now, Mike, now as a pro Christmas person, as a Christmas lover,
he's trying to get his trip, by the way, to the Final Four. I can feel the lobbying happening.
Give me the sell. Give me the sell.
I don't have a pitch.
Well, why do you like it?
You got a pitch for Christmas.
Right.
You got a pitch for Christmas. Yeah. There's no guarantee. A lot of people, a lot of countries don't get to have Christmas.
I don't like this. All right, it's the whole.
Sell. I mean, look, you're not going to sell me because my people don't.
He's an impartial observer.
I mean, his people don't either, really.
What do you mean, his people?
The
non-religious people, yes.
Oh, no. Trust me, they do.
They do. They become religious. You haven't find Jesus on Christmas. So,
not even that. They just. So much more of Christmas is.
Yeah, it's commercial.
Outside of religion.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, so tell us why Christmas is a win.
This should be a pretty easy sell. This is like, tell me why kids like candy.
What's great about Christmas?
To Jeff, because I can't sell anything.
You're not convinced. I'm not gonna pick you apart point by point and tell you why you're wrong. I'm not gonna do that.
All right.
I respect your opinion. I understand why people like his opinion. I understand why people like Christmas. I'm just telling you why I don't. Have Christmas spirit.
All right, just so Mike, sell us on Christmas.
This is
an elevator pitch. Right. You're coming in, you're like, I got a great idea, guys.
And maybe, what if you're my Cindy Lou Who? Like, what if you turned me around on Christmas?
Jeff's heart grew three times that day.
We're from a foreign planet. We come down, and you're making the pitch. You've come to Mars, and you're making the pitch. You need Christmas.
Wait a minute. Is he coming to us?
He's coming
to him.
We don't have to come to him. We're the money brokers of Mars. We are the power.
This shouldn't be this hard.
We are the power brokers of Mars, and we don't have Christmas. And you're coming in, and you're like, I got a great thing I'm going to bring to Mars. It's Christmas. Sell us. All right. Next up, it's like Shark Tank. Dun 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 dun.
It's the longest dun, intro dun. For anything I've ever had.
Next up, Mike Wallace from Earth.
Wait, do I get a backstory? Yeah. Like a pre-produce?
Mike, he's got a new idea of how to celebrate a random day in December.
Based on a character known as Jesus. He died for your sins. Bring it on. All right. Bring it on. We're here. I'm going to be like, who am I?
No.
I've got to get the character.
You are Robert
Hrjevac. At this point, I can't talk.
Am I?
Yes.
Why?
You're Robert Hrjevac.
He's like the most vanilla of them all.
Exactly.
No.
Also
like,
the most irrelevant shark.
I'm going
to
be.
Fine. You want to be Lori Grenier?
No.
You're not Mr. Wonderful.
I'll be either Mr. Wonderful or Mark Cuban.
You're
I'll tell you.
Neither of them.
No, then I'll be Damon. I'm not going to be one. I'm
no,
not.
You can be Damon.
I'm not on an on the end.
He can be Damon.
I'll
he
fine.
Can be Damon. All right, Mike, go
I
ahead.
I started a multi-million dollar clothing company with one single thread. You might have heard of it. It's called FUBU.
I'm never gonna be able to.
Do
I
it.
Don't want to. No. I,
come on. I'd love to get into Christmas, but, you know, I already have a business partnership with Kwanzaa. And I. I'm already in that space. How am I going to make
and
my money?
And for that reason, I'm out. Now, Mike, go ahead. Tell me what. Give me your reasons you like Christmas.
Okay, so
who are you?
Now I just feel.
Or you might be one of the. You might be the GoPro guy. They come in like the special guy.
Oh, Chris Sacca. I could be Chris Sacca. I would also, of course, be Mr. Wonderful.
I watch
because clearly
GoPro
I don't like anything.
That's true.
Sure.
I'm going to do you a favor and crush you like the bug that you are. I'm going to tell you to take that idea, put it in a box, and throw that in the ocean.
In fact, I think I have to be Mr. Wonderful because I bet he doesn't like Christmas either.
That's possible. All right, go ahead. You got Damon and Mr. Wonderful here.
Thank you.
All right.
Sharks, nice to meet you. Glad to be here. And it's just something intangible about the whole thing, the atmosphere leading up to it. It's more about the excitement than anything. You have just driving around at night. Everything's lit up. It's just a different place than it normally is.
Now you're asking for $100,000 for 5%.
Now,
look, my
valuation
holiday,
on Christmas?
My holiday has given us some of the finer pop culture staples of the end of the year. It's the perfect way to close out the year. It gives you movies like Elf. It gives you songs like Jingle Bells. It gives you great covers from bands that you might not hear anything of otherwise for a few months.
I'll tell you what I don't like. I'll tell you what I don't like about this idea. It's a crowded space. You got Easter. You got Passover. You got.
I mean, you're right on top of Hanukkah.
It's a crowded space. You got some big players. I mean, you're gonna have to pay premium for shelving. I don't know.
Now, while I, Mr. Wonderful, personally do not find Christmas appealing,
I
do like being in the holiday business. Because like weddings, all reason goes out the window. And people will spend hundreds of dollars on useless crap like garland, like tinsel, and like fake winter scenes to put on their coffee tables.
Right. So what we're going to do is we're going to corner the market in December. We're going to start right after Thanksgiving. We're going to make a day called Black Friday. Right? Everybody's going to start getting presents and all that tinsel. It's going to be on sale. It's going to sell a lot. And
here's
we're
what I'd like to do.
Right,
I'm
going to
make you an offer,
into...
but it's a contingent on a licensing deal with Target.
That's fine. We can do that.
I think the money's in licensing here. We put Christmas on everything: backs of pants, lunch boxes. I know a guy that knows a guy that knows a guy from North Korea who used to be in China, who's now sailing around the world. He knows a guy, and we might be able to do a deal. I just recently did a deal, something like this. We might be able to do a deal.
Lori Grenier is asking me if you have a patent.
It's patent pending. All right, I'm gonna make you an offer, but you're going to have literally 18 hundredths of a second, and it's either a yes or no, and I walk out of here, and I'll never come back here again. I'm going to give you $5 million. I want 180% of it.
No.
Well, you're dead to me. You're dead to me. So there you go. That's Christmas. Keith Starler does not have any Christmas spirit, as he does not celebrate Christmas. Mike Wallace loves Christmas. I'm like the least sentimental person on the planet, and I'm
emotionally
excited
bankrupt.
I'm happy to go see family, and that's great.
You know, it's
an opportunity to see my parents and my grandmother. We don't get to see that often.
I don't like that everything closes.
Right. I don't get into the whole trappings.
I like going to see movies on Christmas.
Sure. I like that, which you can also do literally any other day.
But I agree. I never like any day. You know me. I like things to be available all the time.
Sure.
So I don't like it when things shut down. Mm. I don't like a thing. I want 24/7 on everything.
I understand. You want things. Well, you want things when you want things.
That's right.
You don't care if they're open 24/7. You just care that they're open when you want them.
I'm open at that particular moment, which means I need to have fully disposable to me. So Christmas, everything's stopping. I don't like it that much. So I like high energy all the time. I also don't like the traffic at malls.
Sure, it's a lot of that.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not fun.
It's downside.
I don't like all the supermarket nonsense. I mean, do people not eat during the year and then all of a sudden they eat themselves sick during Christmas? I mean, you know, I don't like that. I don't like the foods that come out of Christmas too much.
Oh, I'll tell you what, that's the best part about my Christmas. My grandmother, who loved her to death, 92 years old, making, and it's happening tomorrow night, making from scratch ravioli. My 92-year-old.
No.
Food.
You don't understand how good this ravioli is. It is handmade dough. It is hand.
I bet it's not even that good.
No. These raviolis are.
That was unnecessary.
No, I bet you didn't need that. You just
need to throw that shade.
Do you really think me, someone who likes food and well prepared food as much as I do, would come on here and lie to you about the quality of food solely because it was made by my grandmother? No. This is an elite ravioli.
Bring it.
It is elite.
What is it? Cheese?
Ricotta cheese. That's it. There's no meat. Vegetarian. She makes her own sauce.
All right, what
she makes her own pasta.
You need
ricotta cheese.
Get enough.
These things are perfect.
Does she make a lot of extra?
Well, so we're a small group, so not as much as there used to be my family's spread out all over the country,
and
so it's just a small group.
This would be the perfect debut for our new taste test segment.
If you could freeze some and bring them in, we'll eat them on the show.
Yes.
Okay.
But I don't want to – it can't be
any – I can try. They're not going to be as good a week old, but I got to tell you. Listen.
Whose fault is that?
I am not the kind of person to get hyperbolic about food.
But you guys probably don't eat that much.
Well, there's only four of us. And my grandmother, as mentioned, is 92
years old. So it's the four of you sitting together for Christmas dinner.
Yeah. Well, my family lives literally in every corner of the country.
And I bet you, this feels like a very uncomfortable, just very, like a lot, like you can hear the forks plates the whole time. It's kind of a lot of awkward silence.
We talk. It's me, my parents, and my grandmother. That's it. My grandfather, unfortunately, has passed away. The rest of my family lives I'm literally, there's some in Florida, North Carolina, Iowa, Texas, St. Louis, Washington, California.
Boy, it's cold, literally all over. Cold outside.
And it's just not, you know, financially prudent for all of us to get together in one place.
It's going to be a snowy winter.
So we have lots of small, Christmas outposts.
Did you see that new movie? The new Star Wars film? That was good. I feel like it's a lot of small talk.
My parents don't go to movies.
A lot of small talk.
Me and my dad will probably talk about golf. I imagine we'll talk about. We both love golf.
Tell them that, I'm going to be hanging out with Dan Hicks.
I'll be hanging out with Dan Hicks as
well. We'll see about that.
You better believe I will.
We'll see.
You better believe I will. Let's touch on Grayson Allen real quick. Let's unify us all.
We got to hurry because we're going to have to take one more break.
Let's unify us all in our hatred of Duke. Shall we do that?
Sure.
Grayson Allen was suspended indefinitely by Mike Krzyzewski, who was under immense pressure from basically everyone, after Grayson Allen tripped an opponent for the third time this year. Pat Ford came out. Pat Forty.
ESPN, right?
Yeah,
Yahoo. Is he Yahoo?
Yahoo. Came out and as unequivocal as you can be, came out and was like, Grayson Allen is a dirty player, period. Indefinite suspension he received for tripping his opponent, Keith Strudler. You okay with that?
The indefinite suspension?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. For the repeated offenses.
Did it three times.
Yeah. I mean.
And to be fair, it was penalized each time.
Yeah. I don't like that kind of dirty play. And I tend to side with the athletes. I tend to say, look, they're not getting paid. You shouldn't be removing them from, treating them like they're employees. I don't like that dirty play. Obviously, there's a certain kind of emotional reaction because it's Duke and you want to take it out on Duke.
And by the way, if you were designing a hateable Duke men's basketball player.
Central casting.
I mean, it's Grayson. Like, Grayson Allen is what happens when you spend years trying to design the Frankenstein's monster of Duke basketball
player. He's Christian Laettner, but better.
It's amplified now because of social media.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yes. That's part of it.
He's obviously hated. And this is a very, very good Duke team, so it makes it that much more kind of spectacular. What I don't understand, and I haven't followed Grayson Allen enough, great player. Why? I don't understand it at some point, the dirty play. Why can't he turn that off?
And I don't know.
I mean, but to me, it actually doesn't make a lot of sense.
I mean, I've never been an elite-level athlete. I can't get in that mind space. And he's certainly not the only one. I think you can call Draymond Green a dirty player.
Draymond Green's dirty.
There are many players in the NFL who you can call dirty player. I think Albert Haynesworth comes to mind. He's not current right now, but Ndamukong Suh.
I don't understand the psychology of you're really good. You've got an NBA career ahead of you if you want it. I mean, unless I'm misreading, I mean, I've watched him play enough. Very, very strong. I don't know his NBA potential, but a very, very good point.
I mean, I don't think he's going to be he's not going to be the number one pick in the draft. I think he'll be on the roster.
Rounder, right?
I would think he's probably in a late first round.
And
end of the lottery, maybe.
Yeah,
depending on the team.
Whether he's a starting point guard or not, he's on a roster and he sticks around.
The only thing I can think of, the only thing, is that some people psychologically need to get themselves to a certain space where they literally hate the opponent. And if you are playing off hatred for the opposition...
Oh, this is like the dark side.
Right. I think it is a little bit. And I don't know of Grayson Allen's this way. I'm not in his head. I don't know of any dirty players this way. But I have to imagine that if you are the type of person that, to motivate yourself, need to want to destroy whatever's in front of you,
I can see dirty play coming out of that. I understand. But does he appear angry? Does he... It seems out of character from what you see otherwise.
I mean, again, you're never going to be in someone's
head. I'm never going to be in Grayson Allen's head, but it seems as though when you have been repeatedly warned and you know America's watching, that there would be it's almost as if this is like a true disorder. And same thing with Draymond Green. I mean, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing?
Perhaps the most extreme case would be Luis Suarez.
Yeah.
Who can't stop biting people
when the world is watching. That was weird. Or who was the French national? Zinedine Zidane with the headbutt?
Yes. Yeah, the headbutt.
Mike Tyson?
Mike Tyson, we certifiable, yeah. Right? Grayson Allen, I mean, maybe the same thing. I mean, there's no – look, who were they playing? They were playing
Elon.
They're not playing Kentucky in the Final Four. This is a winnable game. There's no one on that team that is unstoppable. So I think Krzyzewski has every right to suspend him indefinitely. He'll obviously be back.
I mean, Krzyzewski, I actually am not a huge fan of the onus being on Grayson Allen's coach to suspend him. I think at the high level of sport, and I consider NCAA men's basketball a high level of basketball for this to be true, the game, it needs to do one of two things. It needs to be legislated through the rules, how sort of like in soccer, if you get two yellow cards, you have to sit. Yeah. If you get a red card, you have to sit. It has to be legislated that way through the rule book, or the game will legislate itself. If there's a dirty player, will be treated accordingly.
You can't have that in college
sports. I don't think the onus should be on Mike Krzyzewski to have to sit Grayson Allen down as if Mike Krzyzewski is the moral arbiter of what is and is not dirty play.
You can make the argument that maybe that the NCAA's got plenty on their plate, and the last thing you want right now is the NCAA coming up with more convoluted rules.
They've never been shy about it before.
But I would say the only thing that's a little different in college sports versus some of these professional examples is there is supposed to be some teaching going on. I feel like this is an opportunity for Krzyzewski, if it's possible, to get inside this kid's head before he goes on to the NBA. Maybe that's altruistic, but that it does seem like this is an opportunity, if Krzyzewski is everything everyone says he is, that he can sit this kid down and say, this is what's going to happen to you if you continue on that path.
And we shall see how long that suspension lasts. We got to take a break. We'll come back with Grades of the Week after this here in the classroom on Fox 1220, 97.3 ESPN Radio. Thanks for spending part of your Christmas Eve with us here in the classroom. I'm Jeff Brault alongside Dr. Keith Strudler and Mike Wallace. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, ESPN The Classroom. Follow us on Twitter, @ESPN_Classroom. Podcasts available on iTunes. Search for ESPN The Classroom. These are your Grades of the Week. Or are they?
The This is ground control to Major Tom.
It's about time.
You've made the grade.
Of the week.
It's a little childish and stupid, but then so is college.
I don't do this ABC stuff that everyone else in the world does. You're in either an A or an F. You're not a D or a C or a B. You're either an A or an F.
Well, that's over. This morning, Christmas Eve, you've been listening to us in the classroom. Do you need something to watch tomorrow morning? Well, tune your televisions to ESPNU from 7 to 8 a.m. This is true. ESPNU will be showing nothing but a one-hour continuous live feed, one single-camera shot of college football analyst Mike Golic Jr. sitting in front of a virtual fireplace doing literally nothing but eating cookies and drinking milk. 1 hour of Christmas morning television on an ESPN network devoted solely to one man eating cookies, drinking milk, and not talking. Keith Strella grade that program.
How are we not on national? That bothers me so much. We're slaving away in the hinterlands. I mean, it's a great network. I love being in the Hudson Valley.
I staked out a very controversial position this morning. I went anti-Christmas. Tell me we don't have hot takes on this show.
We have gum out against Christmas, my 7-year-old's birthday party. I mean, there is nothing that we won't fight. So I happen to love it. I will watch. Is he going to be going at the cookies, or is it just every now and then?
Who knows? We got to tune in tomorrow to find out.
Because you got to save room for the Christmas dinner.
Yeah. He's a Golic. I got to imagine he can eat.
That's a great idea. I love it. I give it an A. I love it.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
That's it.
That's all the time we have in the classroom on this Christmas Eve. For Mike Wallace and Dr. Keith Strudler, my name is Jeff Brault. Do not forget that we are with you live on New Year's Eve. Next week, 10 a.m. to noon, our Year in Review show. We'll give out some intern superlatives. Do not miss our New Year's Eve show next week.
Dress up. It's a dress-up show.
Sure.
I didn't know that.
Dress up like a New Year's party, nicely.
Fancy.
Yeah.
Tuxedos and tails.
Tuxedos and tails. I didn't know if it was like another Halloween.
Get the live stream up. I want this on video.
Keep following us on Twitter at ESPN_Classroom. That's all the time we've got this morning, folks. Merry Christmas. Class is dismissed.
This has been a presentation of the Marist College Center for Sports Communication, a joint production of Marist College students and faculty. Join us again next week for The Classroom with Dr. Keith Strudler and Jeff Brault, presented by Marist College on 1220 WGNY ESPN Radio and 97.3 in Poughkeepsie.